Hi, everybody. I'm Gene Simmons, and you're not. And you are listening to the number one KISS podcast, Shout It Out Loudcast, with Tom and Zeus. But you knew that. Now get out of here.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oi.
This is Gene Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
KISS.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Roger Simmons.
Star? Stop shouting! He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh no, here come the KISS times.
Is that a positive thing? Okay.
Alright.
I'm gonna grab me an ice cold mellow yellow.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Cause fuck them.
That's
what are you talking about?
617-525-0850.
Yes. Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up there, KISS Army? Tom and Zeus with another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast, episode 247. KISS on Tomorrow with Tom Snyder, Halloween 1979.
Another milestone TV appearance that we've been holding off on. Last year it was Phantom, this year it's Tom Snyder, and what good luck for us that was on Halloween. So perfect.
Yes, our Halloween KISS theme continues.
Yep.
Yeah, so Tom, last week we had the great Martin Popoff on, and he talked about his awesome new KISS book, KISS at 50.
Yep.
And that went fucking as awesome as it can be, because it's Martin Popoff and he's a legend, and love picking his brain about all kinds of music. But we did a poll, and how'd that go?
Yeah, we did a poll asking people about what their favorite KISS book was. And of course, there's only four options. They're all amazing. You know, there's no wrong answers. But for this poll, we chose Behind the Mask, which is kind of like the Holy Bible for KISS fans. Shout It Out Loud, the story of Destroyer by our good friend and awesome author and just awesome all around guy, the great James Campion. KISS at 50, obviously, Martin Popoff, and Take It Off, a spectacular book by our friend and former guest Greg Prado about the unmasked non-makeup years. Four amazing books. No real surprise here. Behind the Mask comes in first, 53%. But bravo to our buddy James. Shout It Out Loud comes in second at 25. Take It Off comes in at third with 15. KISS at 50 comes in last with 7, only because it's brand new, and I'm sure a lot of people, they just don't have it and can't really respond to the poll accurately. That combined with, again, Behind the Mask is just the Holy Bible. Got a lot of write-in votes, and I agree with a lot of them. My write-in vote obviously would have been KISS and Sell by C.K. Lent. That is probably the other go-to book that's fantastic. Our buddy John Restano said the same thing. He commented on that. We had a lot of write-ins for that. Our buddy Brad Baird said the same thing, hoping that we could get CK Lent on someday. That would be amazing. Our buddy Daryl Alber, of course, I will mention Kurt Gooch's KISS Alive Forever.
Yeah, same thing. Great book.
Yep. He says, hopefully you see this tweet before he claims copyright use on the word KISS.
Yeah.
Gotta love the current events. James Sixstar says, in all fairness, I haven't yet seen KISS at 50. Take It Off is great. Egghog had a great write-in vote. A write-in vote for Nothing to Lose, the making of KISS. That's another awesome one. So many good ones. So let's see what we got about the episode, because a lot of people had comments on the poll. Man, could be a whole friggin' episode talking about all the different great books.
What Matt about Murphy? My book, Tom? It's called I Got Regrets.
It's called Meet Me in the Tool Shed. You know, I was thinking, Zeus, you know,
I got a couple more now.
I was thinking, just to veer off a little bit from the feedback here. So we keep talking about Zeus. We keep talking about Ace moving into my new shed. It's going to be a problem because my mom is coming to stay with me for the holidays. And I don't know how close I'm going to allow Ace to Mrs. G. This is going to be a problem.
Hey, Mrs. G. Oh, whoops. Sorry. My bathrobe opened up a little bit. You got a sneak peek of my rocket.
Oh, God. All right, back to the feedback.
Tom, there's a strange man pooping in the backyard.
It's like that scene in Friday. Smokey was just taking a shit.
Hey, guys, don't worry about me. Hey, say hi to Mrs. G. By the way, can you cook me up a grilled cheese? I'm a big fan of those with the Velveeta. Kind of melts when you pull the bread apart.
All right. God, we are addicted to Ace. We just can't. We're our own version of the Ace cult, but in a different way. All right. Matt Murphy, looking forward to the interview, but I just started listening and I already have a question for Zeus. What is a nerd house? I don't even remember. What is he talking about?
I don't remember. I have no idea.
I don't even know.
What is a nerd?
We are. Then he follows up with a great comment here. Great episode, guys. You have a knack for asking a wide range of questions, including, quote, I always wondered that, end quote, kind of stuff. Your conversational style makes the guests feel comfortable. Pop-Up is fantastic. And anyone that writes multiple books about UFO is a friend of mine. Yeah, UFO, very underrated, man. They're great. John Schaefer, I loved hearing Zeus breaking down the Kiss lawsuit with Gooch. That was fucking awesome. Yes.
Okay.
Gerald Rosenberg, this book looks great. I can't wait to get it. I have a spot reserved for it right where Ross Radley's magic will be going. On second thought, Martin may be publishing Kiss at 100 before magic comes out. Some good stuff, man. Some good stuff there. So that's what we got for Twitter.
All right. On the Book of Face, let's start off here with our buddy Keith Rochford. Awesome. Just got my copy in the mail. This will continue Shout It Out Loudcast year of amazing episodes.
Wow. Thank you.
Paul Heider, enjoyed the episode. Interesting to listen to a writer talk a little bit about the process, depending on the assignment project he's been given. Popov is very measured and articulate. Good back and forth on Rainbow 2. I chuckled a bit when he mentioned a talk with the publisher about a Motorhead at 50, and absolute silence from the two of you.
Well, that was that was us showing Martin respect. So we figured if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all.
Yes, we just had the great Metal Mike on.
Yes,
to talk about his hair metal journey book on Dorm Damage. That's already out this week.
Yep,
and they were, out of respect for him, we could have been fucking brutal. With some of the, this is a great year. Manowar had an album going. Like, dude,
What are you talking about? Tiger Tail's second album is fucking great. And again, it's all in jest. We love Mike and his podcast and his book is fucking.
And same
fantastic
thing with Martin. But if Mike said fucking Manowar one more time, I was gonna explode. But anyways,
Sabotage. It's like fucking Steve Wright's personal heaven.
We got a ton of like, hey, it's a great book. I'm buying it. Where can I get it? So let's go over to Loudcasters. The great David Caffey says it's a great book. See what I mean? John Whiteman says, I haven't gotten the book yet. Does it have the Vinnie Vincent dirt bitcher in it?
John that's is gonna, the one. That's going to be when it comes out in the expanded edition.
The Kistery book, that big Kiss book. Yeah. The bitcher book.
Beautiful. We'll what about the picture of my turd? I just made one in Tom's shed.
Hey, when you get around to the left side of the yard, Tom, don't forget to get mine. I'm going over more in the corner.
I don't want to interfere with scout poops.
Yeah, me and him are marking our own territory, you know. Anyway, Tom, we'll get to John Whitemore. He's got a nice email that comes in. And we'll get to him a little bit later. The great Jason Warden. Well, hell, Martin Popoff got me to do something I never thought I'd do again. Buy a book, not on Audible, that I'd actually have to read. Man, I love Kiss at 50. Then hearing you talk about other ones like AC/DC, Sabbath, and Zep, we'll be ordering soon. In the Van Halen book to look forward to. Another great interview that I'm glad I got to hear right when I got Kiss at 50.
And all you Rush fans out there, we touched on a little bit his Rush books. I have the Rush album by album, but then he did specific books on Rush during the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. He's Canadian.
Did you know this was coming? Did you know this was coming? Because
is
next
it, is it Joey Romanek's comment?
Joey, don't paint more than 1,000 stubbles on my fucking fake beard, Romanek.
I think it wasn't his comment. Something like, while I'm ironing my jeans, I always read Martin's Rush books.
I don't know. While I'm looking over asbestos reports, awesome interview. History in 5 Songs is my go-to podcast. Always entertaining. And if you're a Rush fan, Martin's 3 book series, Anthem, Limelight, and Driven, are must reads.
See? Yeah, Rush nerd, Rush cult, Rush tards.
Rush tards is more like it. Over on our Instagram, this is from Junior Vintage. Thank you, Martin, for your candidness in writing a different spin on the Kiss story. I own several of Martin's works on the band Rush, including Contents Under Pressure, Rush in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They are all incredible. Great job, TNZ. Over on YouTube, Fonis 23. Great show, guys. Some super insight by Martin what great deep thought goes into producing such a great book. We'll be definitely seeking it out. I think Martin would be a great Dorm Damage guest to have to discuss other artists. His knowledge is vast and articulate. His knowledge is probably better than anybody I can even think of. Tom, would you agree?
We talked about this. I love having Martin on as a guest because he's so cerebral in his analysis. Like we could just geek out with him. I love it, whether it's Kiss or Rush or Rainbow or just music in general. I love having him as a guest. That's why I love his books. I love his work.
And more really pumps my nads.
Pop off really pumps my.
I love his work. About the Funk says, Ace is lounging in his hammock in Tom's backyard.
That's true. I haven't set it up yet, but he's got it coming.
Pinworm says, loving Martin, loving TNZ. Great episode. I think that's the great Mike H. Chris Flood. Great show as always, guys, but I can see Kiss tards all over the country calling 911 when you start talking about Rainbow, saying their history rights have been violated. Hope you can get Martin on Dorm Damage Days discuss some other music. Patrick 2420 says, put that cashew be down.
Nice.
Seriously, what's up with Ace and all the cashews?
It's a good healthy snack and they're pretty cheap. Usually I buy the Hannaford store brand. Plant is a little too much.
I like the salted ones. They get a little sticky on my fingers, but then I'll lick my fingers. I gotta remember, did I wipe after I pooped in Tom's yacht? I don't know, but it still tastes pretty good. I can picture him holed up in the shed vividly. Those 90 seconds made the whole episode. Thanks, brother. And somebody else recently told us that. I think we had a nice discussion with the great James Campion recently, that shit we were doing, we're like, me and you were saying, like, yeah, we're a little embarrassed. Sometimes we have these great guests and authors. And in the middle of it, us talking about Ace shitting his pants in Tom's backyard.
Oh.
And we get a little embarrassed. He's like, no, we love that stuff. So anyway, Tom, over to you. Get some emails done and we'll get to the episode.
All right. Our good buddy, AJ White. Great episode as always. My feedback, however, is regarding last week's question about Eric Carr singing Peter's songs. The only Peter song he ever sang was Beth on Smashes. Well, he did sing Black Diamond and sometimes live, but not only did he not want to do it, but he was incredibly vocal about how uncomfortable he was being pushed into it. That is very true. He felt it was disrespectful and certainly never did it live. Man, what a class act he was. For these final shows, how about putting up a few videos of Peter and Ace? I guarantee most of us fans will go crazy, way more crazy than seeing Tommy and Eric doing them. I have no issues with them at all, but doing their songs live is where I draw my line. I have absolutely no doubt that the reason people are upset by it is because he's in Peter's makeup, although very embarrassing and has nothing to do with him faking it on the piano. If he was sitting on a stool handing out roses, real fans would hate it even more. As a matter of fact, I think the diehards would rather not hear it at all. kick into Strange Ways or Mainline, and you might see the diehards change their tune, but to each their own. Just my opinion. Looking forward to the next episode. Great points, AJ. Excellent points.
If he started doing Mainline or songs that weren't written by Ace, written by Paul, like Hard Luck Woman in Mainline, then I think it'd be a lot easier on him.
Yep. We got a great email and a great Facebook post with an awesome picture sporting the Shout It Out Loudcast t-shirt from Tennessee Duke. He sent us an incredible email with a review of the Nashville show from Monday, October 23rd. Great email, great review. Thank you so much for sharing all that. Share the set list and everything. Awesome stuff. So we really appreciate that. John Whiteman chimes in via email.
Oh, Jesus.
I've been meaning to reach out to you guys for a while, but I'm actually lazy as fuck, so I haven't. Thank you. Thank you for the episode shout out. It makes me proud that my post was such a defining moment in the history of the show and quite possibly all of human history. It took me a while to sift through several hundred turd picks before I found the perfect one to drop in Vinny's toilet, but it was obviously worth it. I love the show, and like many others, I feel like I'm hanging out with old friends when I listen. It's easy to forget that I don't know you guys, so I was a bit worried that I had overstepped after hearing your last rant, but I'm pretty sure now that it wasn't about me. Hopefully, I can get to know you guys better and maybe hang out in the VIP lounge if Ace ends up doing a residency in Tom's shed. Until then, I'll keep trying to walk the line. John Whiteman, you never have to walk the line, brother. Good stuff from you always.
That's awesome, because that's somebody that gets it.
Yep, exactly.
There's a fine line between overdoing a lot of shit that a lot of people
that's right.
do.
That's right.
And he gets what works, what doesn't. And he understands, hey, shit, maybe I don't know these guys well enough, so I don't know if I should put this. Unlike other people, hey, fuck it.
Yep.
That don't get it or jump in or make comments that are just like, huh? I don't know you. What the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, John, kudos to you, and thank you very much.
We got another one here from our buddy Tom Selig. Great emails, as always, from him. He says, a Kiss-tards Unite gathering would be so much fun. Or host a live broadcast, get everyone together. I'm in. We're going to be doing something, but we're not sure yet. But that final show in New York, something's going to happen. We don't know yet. Mike H., so I'm doing what I do every Saturday morning, which is listening to you guys. I'm on my way to my job. I look down to see the next turn that I have to make on my GPS. And guess what? It's Zeus Street. I thought it was cool. Picture attached. Awesome guest. Awesome interview. And as always, awesome show. I love you guys. Take care. And he sends us a picture of his GPS, and it says 1.8 miles to Zeus Street.
Wow.
Good stuff. Honored. And that's what we got for emails.
And Tom, we got one more comment we're going to get to, and it's from our Loudcasters page. And this is from the great Russ Tozer. You're knocking it out of the park with these interviews, TNZ. I could listen to them all day. The book looks amazing, and Martin seems like a cool guy. The Kiss content is what we're all here for, but I must say, the little sidestep into Rainbow Chat made this old rocker smile. So much so that I just revisited your Graham Bonnet interview. Russ, for the compliments, for doing what we want listeners to do, which is to search out music, to search out interviews, to search out more things. And you put it out there so nicely and eloquently right there in that post. We thank you, and you are comment of the week.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Yeah, Russ. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Awesome stuff.
Tom, what we do next is we give a shout out to our Patreon family. Patreon is where people can come and help the show. You support us, it goes a long way. We have a huge family of Patreon members. And we're looking for more. So if you want to help us out and you want to become part of the Patreon family, please go to our website. You'll see Patreon, the link. Click on it and subscribe. We have four different tiers. And with those tiers, you make a monetary contribution. You get perks back from us, whether it be merch, whether it be episode involvement, whether it be picking the songs for the album for ARC, and whether it's the March Madness tournament. We like to keep our Patreon families involved because they've earned it and they're helping us out. It's a great way to help the show continue and continue to grow and get great guests that we've been getting lately. Thanks to Patreon, that's been the biggest help that we could ask for. So if you really want to help the show, you want us to continue, you want us to grow, you want to be part of the Patreon family, come join and help us out. And we really appreciate and thank you to all those members.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge thanks, as always, every single week to the Patreon family. You guys are amazing. You're helping keeping the show growing and supporting us is incredible. We're so grateful for you. So please, if you're interested, check us out, patreon.com. Download the app. Click on the link from our website, shoutoutloudcast.com, and check us out. Lots of perks there, and you'll see them all as soon as you check us out. So please do that. And again, a huge shout out to all of our current and longstanding Patreon members.
Tom, what we do next is we go over to Kiss World. What's going on there?
They are in the process of wrapping up their final shows. 38 days from this recording until the final show in New York City, which we're going to be there. We're recording on Wednesday, October 25th, and they are in St. Louis, Missouri at the time of this recording. And then they make their way through the rest of the United States, a stop in Canada, and then back down into the U.S., and that's it. The stage show is a little different. There is a little bit of something going on in front of like Eric's drum set across the length of the stage with some colors. The pods look a little bit different, some a little bit of different imaging and graphics and stuff. Set list is pretty much the same. I think somebody said they maybe brought Making Love back in or something. So a couple slight changes, but I will say this. Some diehards that we're friends with on Facebook have been saying that it's fucking incredible, that they are loving it. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of emotion and nostalgia because for a lot of people, it's the last time they're ever going to see them. But I'm happy to hear that people just having a great time. And that's what we want to hear.
Tom Paul has also said a couple things in the news, like Ultimate Classic Rock had interviews with him again.
Talking about
the band members not coming in and like Ace and Peter and stuff.
Talked about the Sphere and the residency. Like, you're not doing that, dude. We know that.
Yeah.
We get it.
It's the same old stuff. And, you know, every time they talk, though, people jump up and reprint the shit. And then all hell breaks loose because it's the same old shit.
He also made a comment about the set list, too, of course. So he addressed all those hot button issues. Set list, Ace and Peter. And it's pretty much like this, like in Coming to America. It's like set list. Fuck you. Fuck you. And fuck you. Ace and Peter. Fuck you. Fuck you. And fuck you. We're not doing any of it. We don't care what any of you people want. We're not doing any of it.
Yeah, it's just I wish somebody had a forum where they could push back on that.
Yep.
And say something to them like, what are you talking about? You ask, have you ever polled any of your fans? I'll tell you what they'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need to hear say yeah for the 1 millionth time. So
we don't need to hear say yeah at all. So,
yeah. So regardless. Anyway, Tom, let's take a quick break. And we'll get into the main topic. But before we do, I'm going to see if Ace is ready to step in and help you with trick-or-treaters that come to your house.
Hey, I got some candy back here, too. There's some like half-chewed bowl of nuts I got back here for some of the kids. If they want to come trick-or-treat, tell them to ring my doorbell on the shed, Tom.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, we're back, and we did have a little incident with trick-or-treating. Ace was inadvertently, instead of dropping candy in the kids' bags, he was dropping those little poop bags. You know, he was picking up his poop with Scout's little doggy bags, and he was,
sorry, I thought you guys were collecting the trash. My mistake. Don't eat that. I know it looks like a Snickers, but it isn't.
I ate one of those by accident in 77. I was sick for a week.
Tom, we get asked about the Tom Snyder Show constantly. When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Yep. Like, we already, like, the thought process has already been going, guys. We have things planned out when we're going to do it. So it's not like we're ignoring, like, oh, Tom Snyder Show? What's that all about? We just want to time things according to an organized schedule and figure out a way to do it. And it's Halloween. Hence, we're doing it.
That's right. October 31st, 1979. Everybody who's listening to the show, as soon as you hear the words Tom Snyder and Kiss, you know what you think of. You think of Ace, you think of Gene, and you think of just the chaos. And it's something that, as Kiss fans, we love, we cringe, we talk about it, we analyze, and we can't wait to do that tonight.
Yeah, so what we're going to do, I'm going to this inside the episode, play out the whole show of Kiss on Tom Snyder. And when the episode ends, we'll come back and we'll analyze and break it down. So here it is.
They're unreal. I'd heard about your talisman, but I didn't think they really existed. What's that humming noise?
Beethoven's Fifth.
This is our Halloween special from New York, and have we got a show for you tonight. Little did anybody realize back in the early 1970s what an impact four men from New York would have on the rock scene in this country. Since 1974, Kiss has produced a gold album with every single album they've recorded. 11 out of 15 albums have gone platinum. They are known for the incredible illusions and theatrics during their performances. The drummer goes 30 feet up in the air and turns around. The bass player grunts, groans, flies 40 feet up in the air and spits blood. The lead guitarist sets off fireworks and smoke illusions and blows up his guitar, and the rhythm guitarist crashes his own guitar into eensy beensy teeny tiny pieces, and he passes them out to the audience at the end of the concert, and the audience takes them home and trades them for food. Kiss is best known, however, for their mythical personas on stage, the wild makeup, the spectacular costumes, the superheroic posture, and they're all here tonight. The Kiss phenomena does not stop with sound. There are Kiss games, lunchboxes, toys, pinball machines, and soon to come is Kiss World, a traveling amusement park. It all adds up to an incredible organization with millions of dollars and millions of fans, and here they are.
We'll be right back.
Wow. Now, let me tell you something. These four young men walked in here this afternoon about, what, 3 hours ago, 4 hours ago, carrying eight enormous sacks filled with all their outfits, their shoes and their chokers and their capes and their jewels and their paraphernalia and their makeup. And I cannot believe that they would spend all this time, because they're not going to perform here tonight. Aww. But rather get into themselves, as we like to do, or get people into themselves. So they did this for us, and I'm so appreciative of this. And they'll all be out here in just a second. Individually, they are Gene Simmons, the bass player, Peter Criss, the drummer, Paul Stanley, the guitarist, and Ace Frehley, the lead guitarist. And they're here this evening to help us celebrate Halloween. And Kiss will join us in just a moment. A little bit later on tonight, we have Miss Dorothy Dietrich, who bills herself as America's leading female escape artist and magician. Now, I've seen a lot of female escape artistry in my time, but I understand that Dorothy is awfully good at this. She is the first woman to professionally recreate some of the legendary Harry Houdini's great escapes, and she will show us some of those tonight. And Halloween being the most sacred day of the year for magicians, the day that Houdini died, Miss Dietrich and many of her fellow magicians earlier this evening will have held a seance in an effort to contact the spirit of the great Houdini. On our stage tonight, Mr. Donald Berman, one of the newer members of our staff, will be sawed in half by Dorothy Dietrich. Now, let me tell you about Donald Berman, and you'll meet him in just a couple of seconds. Donald came to us from the NBC News Department, WNBC-TV here in New York. Donald is a terrific guy. He's one of the hardest working guys on this staff. But the guys from the news, you know what I mean? You know, they get a little, I don't want to say square, but they play it straight. You know what I mean? Donald comes every day. Today he came in dressed suit, tie. The man is always presentable. We come in, the jeans, the sweaters, and all that. Donald is in tonight, suit, tie, the whole thing, and we're going to saw this man in half. Why don't we saw Larry Johnson in half?
No.
I mean, let's go through the staff members that we would like to see sawed in half. Called Get the Staff tonight. Franny Kohler, the makeup lady. Let's saw her in half. O'Gorman, the stage manager. Debbie Vickers, saw her in half. George Paul, the director, saw him in half. Saw me in half? No, no. The man is a reporter, an observer, a journalist. Now from New York. We'll be right back in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 with Kiss. Now, here are the remarkable members of KISS. And first of all, Mr. Gene Simmons, who is the bass player, who is the bass player. Mr. Peter Criss, who is the drummer. Mr. Paul Stanley, who is the guitarist. And Ace Frehley, who is the lead guitarist.
I'm not the lead. I'm the trap player.
Now, tell how this started, you know, because Gene came in and he said, I didn't know I played bass. And I said, well, I see Aykroyd on Saturday Night Live with the bass fish, and then you say the trout player.
I have to excuse it. Bass.
Yes, bass.
I've been called anything, but not the bass.
Never a bass player.
Never a bass player.
What would happen if you went out on stage for a concert and you didn't set off the fireworks and you didn't break up the guitar and you didn't have the smoke and the fire and the blood and all that, and you just came out and did your thing?
It would still be a rip-roaring rock and roll show, because what we do when we go out there is we don't stand still when we play our instruments. We run around and pretty much raise hell. Can we say that on TV?
Yes, you can.
Well, we raise hell.
TV. I have medals from, you know, early
past
days
World
of
War,
high school
medals.
Tracked, and I'm sure we're four very athletic young gentlemen. No, I think incredible.
Yeah, this is our thing, you know, going out like this. So if we didn't go out like this, a lot of people would be really disappointed, because KISS is known for the big show. So why shouldn't we go out and do what people expect?
How does what you do now in concert, what we saw on the videotape, and I'm assuming that that's reasonably recent, mm-hmm. how does it differ from when KISS first went out on stage? Did you come out with this tremendous energy right from day number
the
one?
The energy was there. The equipment wasn't. We used to go out and we wanted everybody to think we were famous and that we were very big. So we used to have amplifiers that were empty because we couldn't afford speakers.
I remember that.
We'd pile them against the walls and we'd tell the lighting man, don't put a light on them, because you could see these circles.
Right through them, right?
You could see where the speakers were. The energy was always there. When we used to play little clubs, we started out playing in Amityville, Long Island. and we always said, this is the garden. You know, every night we play.
Peter said this was the garden. I want credit for that.
In fact, I remember opening up for lots of bands that had half the equipment. Oh, I see there's a live human being over there. Half the equipment.
Right here in front of us. Wait a second. Have you recorded your laugh?
No, we want to, though.
You must record.
You know, these guys have been talking about recording my laugh. We've done 15 albums. They've never done it. Maybe on the 16th album they will do it.
I think you recorded it on your solo album. You did.
Absolutely not.
Why not? He didn't.
Yeah. Ace has been saving it for a Kiss.
That wasn't my real laugh. That was just a compilation of... You
know. All right, upcoming and future Kiss albums, Ace Frehley's Rap. You were saying something.
I forgot.
No, I know what it was. We when we first started out, we had so much equipment that the other bands...
Wait a minute. We had no equipment. We were broke.
You remember the Marshall lamps?
The phony Marshall lamps were incredible.
That's right, phony Marshall lamps. And we used to open up for these bands that had nothing. All they had were guitars and drums, and we had this six-foot logo, and this was way back in 74. And... people just used to get very, very angry at the fact that we could come out, put on a... We had a levitating drum set.
It would go up 6 feet, but there was like guys with ropes.
Filling me up, you know? And if we didn't get the guys for that night, the drums would be... When we first started out, we used to play clubs, and the drums would go up, and Peter would be like this, and the ceiling would be getting lower and lower.
And I used to tell the guys, don't lift me anymore. It's still keep going in.
No, but actually, sometimes it worked on a chain drive, the first levitating drum set that we had.
Bicycle chain.
And sometimes it would skip.
Gotcha. Just,
if you ever have a 10-speed bicycle?
Surely.
It would go up like that.
And then drop.
The drop would go up. My hair's not going up. I'm going to drop like
that. And my heart would drop with it.
And we all fell for Peter.
Yeah. Well, we played along with it, though, you know. In fact, the first time... that's part of the show. You can never let on.
I'm glad you guys
when
did.
When we first started playing, we had to get used to wearing these kind of shoes. And Ace is notorious for his bad balance. And... maybe the first couple of months that we were on tour, invariably, once a night, you would hear a thud on stage and you would look and Ace would be sprawled out. And being backwards. Troopers, we would run over and play over.
These guys were incredible. If I would fall on stage, these guys would run over to me and make believe like it was part of the show. They'd stand over me and we'd do like this... You know, I'm looking up and they're looking down. We put the guitars together and bounce them off.
People would love it.
Around.
There goes the lead guitar.
Well, that's part of the show.
When you see the audience going crazy, what goes through your minds? Do you have time to think about audience reaction while you're performing?
I feel like I'm in a movie. I always get the feeling that you know, without comparing ourselves to anybody else, it's almost like the mid-60s, like we're in a Beatle kind of movie. And we're not even playing ourselves because, I mean, when you realize that a lot of the people at the show have been waiting 3 or 4 months to come see us, and this is like the big night for them. And when you see all these people screaming... And crying and all that.
crying? Why did I spend all that money? I spent all this money.
This is it. He goes up to the ass. We're out of here.
True confession time.
Huh?
True confession time.
Exclusive on the Tom Snyder program.
That was great. You'll suffer in the dressing room.
Whose idea was Kiss? Who invented Kiss?
We all did.
Yeah.
Gene and I were together for about 9 years now.
Not sexually, just to...
That's the later part of the program. Yeah. I want to slip it past 120, and then we'll get into the drugs and, you know, and all that stuff.
No, none of that.
Okay.
No.
I don't take drugs.
Mom?
No drugs.
Go ahead.
No, you were saying 9 years.
Yeah, we've been together about 9 years, and then we broke up a band we were in, and Peter joined us, and then Ace joined us, and the rest is Kiss-tory.
We always wanted. I always wanted.
Kissmas. It's like everything is really. Kiss. Kissmas. No. Kiss-tory.
The thing was, we always wanted theatrics and music together. I did by myself.
We're still hoping for it.
No, and finally I met these two nuts, and they wanted it. We picked him off the Bowery.
Tom McCann, 398 Specials.
That was it.
Can I just go around the horn here and start with Gene and tell me where you're from and where you went to school?
All right, I've got a question to ask you. My manager's off stage. Is this true confession time or am I on?
No, you're
right. Really on.
All right. Then I'm from New York City.
Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
They're not on.
Queens. I'm from Queens, New York. Actually, not too far away from Paul's house. We kind of used to wave to each other before we knew. That's right. Before we knew each other, I'd see this guy waving back. I'd wave.
Gene was into telescopes.
Telescopes.
He loves
Mom,
it. Ace loves it.
Ace loves anything.
Can I tell you something?
Well, I get beat up
before you guys came on. They gave me a little sheet on each one of you to read, you know, where you're from and how you grew up and blah, blah, blah. And the notes said, now Ace seems to be the most laid back of the four, and he's the one who'll probably be the hardest to make talk.
This is George.
I'm an imposter. Ace is back in his ass.
That's true. We got our roadmap.
Who's on first? What's on second? You know what I mean? Listen, Tom, about that swampland in New Jersey you were wondering about.
You grew up in New York. You all grew up in different parts.
I grew up in the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn. Yeah.
I grew up 211th Street and Broadway. I was the only Jew in an Irish neighborhood. And you learned to either run or fight. And then I moved to Queens.
But he used to paint himself green.
Well, he was still ready to fight.
Every once in a while. And that's where the makeup comes in.
I knew Gene and I would be in a band together because he was the only guy in Queens who was wearing whiteface and a ponytail. This guy.
That is true. Boots like this is, you know, it's not your regular $3.98 Tomacan special.
That's right. Those are $7.98
at Hardee's.
Tell me about your outfits. I mean, did you design your own outfits, all of you? And tell me what each outfit means. And I'll start with you, Ace.
Well,
that means a cucumber.
I think this outfit is self-explanatory. I mean, you know, this is part of a kind of a V shape. This is my utility belt, and we don't want to go any belower than my waist area because that's reserved for concert players.
I understand that. But, and then after it's all over, they say, this is what we came for.
And that's
why they always feel short.
I stole this from Flash Gordon, and, I have my cape. And,
But you're kind of like a spaceman, huh?
No, actually, I'm a plumber. On the side.
Well, listen, I got a little piece of pipe backstage I'd like to have you work on.
Tell me about it. Oh, you want it, but I already did.
You. You all sweet talker, you. But I'll tell you, I read on the sheet that they gave me where they said that it's hard to get you out of your shell.
It's hard for me.
I'm very introverted. Try to cheer down. That you wanted to go for a ride in the first spaceship or a rocket ship or something like that.
Are you referring to the space shuttle?
The space shuttle that you wanted.
Yes, I would prefer to have a ride on the first space shuttle if it's feasibly possible. I was speaking to Pat. And I said, you got any info,
ambitions?
See if you can get me a ticket on that. I'd be very interested in that, because I'm into technology.
I think Ace doesn't need anything. I think he can just power himself. His own power.
Ace's limo just... I'm in your band.
Never a dull moment. Let me tell you something about Ace. When we were first starting out, we had a Mylar... front to the bass drum. We would play these clubs, and we're still trying to figure out who it is that we are, what it is that we're trying to put across. Ace ultimately would look into the Mylar and start laughing at himself.
I like when he liked me, came up.
Having a rotten time, right, Tom?
I'm having an awful time.
Take it easy. It'll get better.
We'll hope so. We'll regroup here for a couple of minutes, and we'll continue with KISS after these words from the NBC television stations Coast to Coast. I don't believe this, man. I was just talking with the gentleman in KISS, George and Peter and Paul and Ace about...
George,
I want to ask.
Oh, George! Oh, you're Ace. George is not here.
George
how
is
about
here,
Gene?
But he's in the background.
This is the bass player.
All right, you better talk about that list right now, because you're not getting away with it.
You were telling me about. Something that happened on the road.
Well, why don't we let Paul kick off the story? And
all right, fine.
It.
Like I said, Paul was going to kick off
Arkansas.
The story.
There's so many great road stories. It's really an education. When you go out on the road, you're really green. I just thought of something. The very first tour we did, you know, you expect all these women and you start settling for girls. But,
but confession time here.
I remember one instance where I didn't even tell you.
I was with a girl in my room, and I said to her, so tell me a little about yourself. You know, she said, I just got out of the nut house.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. No, but the story we were talking about, we were in Arkansas, and I was... I was with a girl, and this was the first tour, and it turned out...
This was about 4 years ago.
Turned out that she was 16, and it turned out there was a prison right across from the hotel convenience to take me away. And it also turned out that she made her living going from room to room in the hotel. She was a hooker. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at my door, and it's the police telling me to open up or else. And I can't figure out what's going on, except that somebody must have told on me. Meanwhile, Ace is in the room next door, throwing his furniture onto the highway, having a party.
Yeah. We were on the 20th floor of a hotel, and I don't want to name the hotel because I don't want to be incriminated.
Again.
Anyway, I threw all my furniture out the window, and I was with two other friends of mine that actually were from New York, but had somehow... ended up in Arkansas at the moment. Anyway, to make a long story short...
I thought we were in Canada.
My road manager runs in the door and he says, the state troopers are here, they're going to arrest you. He said, get in bed and put your head under the pillow. I said, right. So 5 minutes later, the state troopers walk in, and there's my road manager, Frankie Scanlaro. Hell of a nice guy. I love him. And he says, look at him. He's drunk. He's under the pillows. He didn't do anything.
He was
go to balls
with a con artist. He was
excellent. A lot of people in his room. There was a big party. They got him drunk. They drugged him. They threw all his furniture.
They ran
out the door.
They got him drunk.
They got me drunk. I fell out. They threw all his furniture out the window. Look at him. He's gone.
We got away with it.
And it flew, huh?
Yeah. That wasn't the first time he talked his way out of us getting in jail. But he was an incredible guy. Frankie, I love you. I'll see you. New Year's Eve.
Going into the last commercial, and I don't know if we still have the record up, but we played a piece of music and you'd said something that caught my ear. A lot of people won't recognize that.
That's Beth, written by Peter Criss.
As being
Kiss. Yeah.
And if it's still up, if you could just sneak it in a bar or two, because maybe people watching this have a short memory span. It'll be here in a second. But now, why would you say people wouldn't recognize?
People have preconceived notions about who it is that Kiss is. You know, they think that all we are is... you know, guitars, loud guitars, drums. We're also four happy-go-lucky guy kind of guys that wear makeup. No.
Go ahead.
Peter Criss. Naturally, they don't play the vocal.
That's us doing
no guitars, no drums, that's right.
That means down. That means down.
My God, to me, it just looks up and down.
Yeah, just down.
So that goes to show you we could write with, you know, it's a symphony. I mean, we used a whole big symphony when I wrote that tune.
When have you done that in front of people?
I do it every night.
With a tape? We use a tape for that.
I use a tape, but I sing live to it. And we won People's Choice Award for it. It was a big hit for us.
But you played the violins yourselves?
You have charts written out for, you know, the various sections, and you make sure that they play the right melodies and the right timbre.
A lot of people, you know, have so many preconceived notions about Kiss, but the greatest thing about the success we've got now is that we're basically free to do anything we want.
Like this.
What are you doing?
He's ruining your teddy bear.
I'm trying to make him a space bear. Space bear. The only space bear in captivity. I got him, he's captured.
Captain Bear.
Okay.
Space Bear.
How are you, Tom?
I'm all right, thank you. In your off time. I mean, when you're not performing, not in your off time, but when you're... What is the recreational activity that you enjoy?
Oh, orgies.
Sacrifices. Human sacrifices.
Human sacrifices.
There's a movie where it says guys said orgies.
Orgies, that's
orgy.
Right.
Orgy, doggy,
no, doggy. I do various things.
Do you mind if I hold on to him?
No, you can hold him as long as you like.
Thank
just
you.
Make certain that when you leave, he stays.
It stays there.
Okay. I've heard the horror stories about thefts, yes. Yeah.
Watch horror movies, collect Betamax cassettes of horror movies, cartoons, old. Try me. Name me any horror movie, and I'm putting you on the spot. As old as you want. It could be silent.
This is his game. Gene's got you, man.
Of course he's going to get me.
I'm not that good on horror movies.
Well, Pat told me that you were.
You don't?
No, I heard you like the old gangsters movies, because I love the old
No, he doesn't like that either.
No,
he just likes bears.
I don't care for those.
Cartoons. No.
Cartoons I care for.
All right, try me.
You mean if I give you a cartoon and you'll give me the plot? or what?
You could do that.
Animation.
All right, I'll give you one. Bugs Bunny, Hairway to the Stars.
Hairway to the Stars is when he goes, when the big spaceship lands, the Martian comes out.
You got it.
With the little helmet. And Chuck Jones produced it from an original script by Robert McKimson. You can check on it.
I don't have to, because Chuck Jones was here about 3 weeks ago, and I remember that conversation.
It is Chuck Jones.
We talked about Hairway to the Stars.
Yeah.
Well, you just pick it up. Now, do you also, when you say horror movies, do you mean mystery movies as well? Like,
no.
If I said you Diabolique, would you know that one?
That's a French movie from 58, I believe.
Put the bear down.
Yeah. I don't really go in for suspense mystery as much as something that's got a sense of outre about it. How about that? That's a French
word. Well, then you'd know The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Of course, 1952, Michael Rennie, Gord the Robot, Klaatu Veronikto. Hi, Mom.
Here we go.
How am I doing, Mom? Yes.
Invaders from Mars?
Invaders from Mars, 1953 with...
Some space.
1953 with... who was Lou Costello's girlfriend? God.
Quick.
Hilary Brooks is right. Bring him on the stage.
Hillary Brooks was the
mother of the child.
So that's
right.
Trivia, horror movies, and you watch them a lot, and you have a collection of them?
In fact, yes, I get into my little straitjacket, put on the Betamax, on it goes. Hello, Luli.
Little disconnected things come out.
That's every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's a living, you know what I mean.
And you?
I fantasize being a masked crime fighter. That's what I always wanted to do when I was a kid. This is about as close as I can get to it. The other time when I'm not on stage, I kind of sit in my apartment and say, I want to be alone.
That was very good.
Someone once said that, didn't you?
When did you start dressing up?
Like this?
No, this is not.
This isn't. Up. You know,
this isn't that wild for this guy.
No, this really. You should see what I wear on the street.
Nothing.
I don't know. When I was a kid, I always had this dream of becoming a crime fighter, but there was never any call for it. I always wanted to be on a stallion overlooking the Long Island Expressway with my hair blowing back fighting crime. It just didn't work.
No, there aren't too many guys around on stallions looking over the Long Island Expressway with their hair blowing in the wind.
Except at night.
Hi, I fight crime. Are you the one who used to, one of you used to race cars a lot?
Well, I tried it.
Yeah.
But many times.
It doesn't work well for me. I've wrecked quite a few cars in my time. I'm very lucky to be here. I really am. So I stopped that. I promised today no more racing cars.
Well, you know, Peter, we're very lucky to have you here.
Well, it's good to be here, Tom.
It's really strange, you know, Tom. Peter has 9 lives. He's come close several times.
That's good, Ace. He's
the
cat.
And we still love him, and we're glad to see that he's still around. God love you.
So now I stay up watching late. I like Bogart movies and Cagney and the real, real old gangster stuff, Dillinger, all those real... And I also cut guns. I target shoot.
Toy guns now. We're not talking about real guns.
No, real guns. Oh,
what do you mean?
I could say that.
But as a collector of them because
I collect them and I shoot them only targets, though. I never hunt animals or anything like that.
What is it about having a gun collection?
I'm fascinated by them. Maybe because I'm fascinated by gangster movies. If I could relive, I would love to be in the 20s and be like a Dillinger or a Babyface Nelson.
In the movies. See how I'm trying to bail him out? In the movies.
Is it Coyne, our manager?
Hello, Bill.
Well, wait, if you must be on the
Gene, are you kind of the guy who kind of keeps it all
the
level
mother.
And keeps it all...
You know what I like?
The mother.
She's the mother
See, because of
him.
Let me tell you something.
What's hit? The man is hit. I don't believe it.
Because
give me a break, for God's sake.
That was for fun.
I'm your host.
Gene's fine. A monster.
Well, try this one. Man's violent, for heaven's sake.
See,
why?
I can't be again.
You're rude.
Love it. I'm sorry.
All I know is if this guy gets himself in trouble, I'm in trouble.
Wait a minute. You can run around being a vampire and I can't be a vampire. That's not fair.
We got, I just thought it's not that. That's what I just said. He wanted to be a gangster in the 20s, and that's
right.
What he wanted to
but
be.
But the 20s are over, and here I am now, a drummer.
That's right.
Kiss.
But everybody's got a fantasy, and we're all good guys. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Good.
Probably
definitely.
Have a good substantial breakfast every morning.
No.
I wasn't giving the money to the poor.
That's good.
I would have.
Well, all one of you has to do is say nanu nanu, and I'm up 40 feet in the air.
No, I would.
Now you, I've read again in the little thing, the one that said Ace probably won't talk at all. Toys, that you were a toy or a game collector.
That's true. No,
it's Phil Donahue who says, I need a little help here. You know
no,
what I mean?
I told Pat I collect antique toys.
I'm very articulate if I want to be.
D,
Do you want to
talk to me?
No, but now we've gone through their fantasies or their things.
Well, yeah. Let Ace tell you about the toys got under the ground.
I'm into technology. I'm fascinated by the fact that 5 or 10 years from now, we'll be able to have space stations circling the Earth that are totally controlled and energized by solar energy, that are totally independent of the Earth. I think that's fascinating.
Would you care to tell our audience what you were doing at 4 o'clock this morning?
No. I don't want to get arrested. No, actually, I'm a Taurus, I'm a down-to-earth human being, and,
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so, Taurus is an earth sign. Come on, let's get back to reality.
But Ace is in space.
And we are?
Tell them about the toy you've got under the ground, that big toy that you just built.
The big toy you built.
Oh,
your bunker.
I built a recording studio underground, 18 feet underground next to my house.
I mean, you're talking about the state of the art on the East Coast. There's no place like this.
It's automated, board. It's all computerized. Cost me a lot of money. I don't want to talk about it. My Canon's ready to.
I'd like you to tell about the helicopter that you're building.
Well, I'm into radio-controlled, model airplanes and most recently helicopters, which are more fascinating because they're much more challenging. Anybody that's into radio-controlled models knows that right now helicopters are hard to control. And it's a state-of-the-art now.
But you didn't know
it's
that.
Tough.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
The Germans make the best ones at the moment. Right now, I have a Japanese one I'm having trouble with. I have a German one on order.
Don't do it.
I'm not doing anything. I'm talking about...
Don't you dare. This
guy's a good egg right here. He's a little hard-boiled, but he's good.
What strange things have happened to you? Strange fan mail or... Look at this.
You know, as soon as we start...
Gene, call him off, please.
Okay.
Okay,
baby. Easy, Ace.
Okay,
as soon as we started doing concerts from the very first show on, the first show, in fact, was done pretty close by 14th Street right off of 5th Avenue. First show we ever did was New Year's Eve, 1973-74. My hair caught fire. There's a part in the show where I breathe fire, and of course I hadn't had too much practice then, and the right side of my hair caught fire, and everybody thought it was part of the act. You know, they just went right along with it, and I didn't know what happened. Somebody came, doused me with a towel.
That's the trouble with the show that we do. It's so big, and there's so much going on that when something really goes wrong or somebody gets hurt, nobody ever knows it. At one show, I got hit with something, and my eye was bleeding. And my head, Paul, bleed from that eye.
Miami, when you got electrocuted.
I was electrocuted. I almost died.
Threw a bomb up at me?
That's not fun. I've been laughing this whole show. In Miami, I touched the railing, which was metal at the time, and the railing wasn't properly grounded. And everybody in this group knows I almost died that night. I couldn't, for the rest of the show, there was no feeling in my fingers.
Yeah, it was a close call.
Since then, we've gone with more electronics. We've got
wireless guitars that don't need wires. Shocked. Mm-hmm.
Based on the radio. Same principle that his helicopter is based on.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That's great. That's what I call band and interaction.
M80s. And I couldn't.
You got to start over because he was going while you were starting.
When he was electrocuted, somebody once said M80.
You got a line, huh? Hey, when Ace was electrocuted, when we fried Ace.
I right
into it.
And it really, really hurt. I really couldn't hear for 3 months. It was really dangerous.
That's why we.
Really, I still can't.
Peter, what?
No, you got to tell it all over again.
We were in some town, where it was way down south, way down Dixie, and I got some kid through it. They're called M80s.
Oh, the big firecracker.
Yeah, it was
Memphis, Tennessee, and it literally blew me off the drums. And I woke up in a car, and I went back and did the show, but I couldn't hear out of my ear for at least 3 months. It was really dangerous.
So that's why we got some bad reviews.
Yeah, but there's been some scary moments.
Who do you think is the audience for Kiss? Who do you play to?
We initially thought, we were doing this for ourselves initially because we started out, here's the old rap we had. We initially started out being the audience. It wasn't that long ago. And the premise behind anything that we do is we try to place ourselves in the audience. Would we like it if we did it? Mm-hmm. And we started out with a pretty much of a middle teen audience, and now it's grown into a circus. We've got
bears. It's amazing.
Leaps and bounds.
It's great. Leapshin. If we're in a hotel across the street from the halls we're playing, it really looks like Ringling Brothers, because you see parents, you see 6 years old, you see 25-year-olds. Mm-hmm. It's really, it appeals to a lot.
And if we did a concert in Bombay, there would even be cows.
I bet you didn't know that, did you?
I don't believe it.
If you cross the street, you know,
look at this guy.
I'm getting bruised by you.
Wake up.
I'm amazed.
I'm getting killed. I'll do it with you at the same time.
I've got to move on to the lady Dorothy Dietrich, who saws the member of the staff in A. Which is a million laughs.
Well, do you want to be sawed in half tonight?
Absolutely.
Why not?
But may I thank you all for being here. Ace, you have a terrific sense of humor, and you're a good man.
And enjoy the trains.
Thank you very, very much.
I heard about it.
Thank you
that.
Very, very much.
I'm
Peter, good to
thank
see you.
Tom.
Thank you very much. And Paul, thank you.
It's great.
And I'm sorry I said you were a bass player, Gene. You're
a He's a good fish.
Quite all right, Ralph.
He's a good egg.
Take care.
Thank you all very much.
We had a ball.
It's a pleasure.
It was great.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
And it's good to be
happy
Halloween.
Watch out.
Hi, Mom.
Where are you? Okay, True Confessions. We will continue after these words from our sponsors. Did I blow you?
Tom, that was the legendary episode with Tom Snyder. Now, I mean, it's cliche. We know a lot of the stuff. All KISS fans know this. We don't want to just talk about the questions being asked, because I'll be honest with you, I learned nothing. If it wasn't an interview, it wasn't in-depth stuff. Like, oh, I heard them talk about that. It has nothing to do with it. This is Tom breaking it down. Personalities, body language. This is a therapy session or a psychoanalysis session or something. And I want to hear what you think about what we just heard.
Yeah. I mean, when was the first time that you remember seeing this? Because I remember hearing about this. I don't think we saw actual video footage, or at least I don't remember. I think until the Kissologies came out. There were some clips. It's a very short clip. The clip that we just dropped for you guys to hear is the full, like, extended, like, 30, 35-minute thing, the entire thing. Yeah, I mean, again, you know, people, you see the memes, the GIFs of Ace laughing and cackling, that the death stare from Gene. I mean, before we break it down, give me your initial thoughts when you think of this, when you see it. When you watch this again with, like, fresh eyes, you know, and kind of looking at it from a different angle.
I think Paul and Gene come across like fucking assholes. I think Ace comes across as a fucking, like, a child. Like, some of it may have been funny the first time, but I get to see all aspects of everybody. I thought Peter was the fucking coolest. Because he was laid back, he'd laugh when it was funny, and he added his couple comments in. I thought he was the most natural. I think Ace was over the top because he was fucking shit-faced.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, Gene, it's funny to watch this now because of what we think of Gene now and what we think of Paul now. So watching that from 1979, it's the reverse. Gene's the stick in the mud. He's bullshit. He's pissed off. And Paul has a smile and a smirk trying to, like, survive this disaster. Gene is just wants to fucking, like, absolutely dismember Ace. Where I feel like if that happened now, it would be the exact opposite. Gene would be like Ace, like, so that was kind of an eye opening thing to me, to see that Gene was the one that was like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah. Paul didn't have the confidence level of Gene of running the band.
Right. I think so. Yeah.
And I think it's even telling when at a certain point when Ace was just off the rails, Tom's like, Gene, help me out. Like, he didn't say Paul. Gene was the leader back then.
Yeah.
Paul was the nervous, like, smiling through his teeth and, like, grinning
his
teeth.
That's it. That nervous then, look.
Yeah. And Gene was just like, ha, ha, yeah, Ace. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, like, the parent that, like, when you're in that event and you're at, like, a family gathering or something, he looks over at you like your dad's like, I'm going to fucking kill you when we get home.
I think the thing that made it even better. So I'm a fan of Tom Snyder because he's like someone's dad. He's kind of dorky. He had absolutely no idea who he was talking to. I mean, he said the bass player. He didn't fucking know their names. He had no idea what he was doing. He had absolutely no control over the interview. But I found that a little bit endearing that it was just a regular guy. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like that dorky high school teacher that's monitoring like study hall and he can't get the kids to like behave. So he's just trying to like talk to them because he knows they're going to be pieces of shit anyways. Like Tom Snyder, the poor guy was just like, all right, let's go around and talk about, you know, where you're from and what, you know, and fucking Ace is dressing up the space bear. And like, it was just,
Yeah, I agree with you about Snyder. He had a very, I don't know how to explain it, like, disarming way of treating guests. Like
he
always seemed like, I'm generally interested.
Yeah.
So you worked as an accountant for 2 years, like boring shit.
Yep.
And he would make it seem like, oh, really? Oh, let me ask you about that. Like, he did not seem like he was like, says here, you worked at the docks for a couple years. Like, he seemed like, wow, really? Oh, like. And he got it back from Ace. Yeah. And let's be honest, it is exactly what he said. Like they said here, like you'd be quiet and you wouldn't come out of your shell and I need to talk to you. And Ace was just fucking hammered and going off and he didn't expect it. And he was going along with it. But I think halfway through, he was just like, dude, this is a fucking train wreck. And I could tell this band is very uncomfortable, the dynamic in here. And he was just trying to like not play up Ace too much. Because I think he figured, oh, he's in trouble when the show's over.
Yeah. Let's get to a couple of comments and quotes from Behind the Mask. There's actually a section in Behind the Mask about some legendary TV appearances. Now, there are comments from Gene, Peter, Ace, Bill O'Coin, and their publicist, Carol Kay. I find it interesting. No comment from Paul. Interesting. So Gene says, the Tom Snyder Show experience was horrific. Ace was bombed. And Peter was in his I'm Italian and I love guns mood. I was trying very desperately to keep it together. Tom Snyder kept going to Ace, the guy who was cracking up and having a good time. Ace and Peter would play off of each other. As soon as Peter saw that Ace was having a good time, it was almost a license for him to say, oh, yeah, I like guns and I'm in gangs. You're rich and you're in a rock and roll band. He was never in a gang. They both loved the idea that they were bad boys. They're not bad boys. If these guys were in gangs, they would have wound up being dog food. I don't know. I don't understand why Gene's saying that, because I truly think that Peter is a fucking psycho.
Yeah, I think he's, I don't know. For some reason, it seems like they're like, well, Ace is a fucking mess, but Peter's an asshole.
Yeah, I
like,
agree.
Peter can control that and he didn't want to. He found a way to just fucking rub it in our face. Well, you know, if, no offense. When you got your chance, you rubbed it in his face as well.
Well, I think that's another bit of the thing too. Peter says, for the first time, Ace and I had hijacked an interview from Gene and Paul, and the result was hilarious. So right there, you know that their goal was to just be fucking assholes in front of them, make Gene and Paul uncomfortable, embarrass the band, embarrass everybody. Because you're right, at that point, the band was like hanging by a thread, barely. At that time. So they already hated each other and they were probably like, you know what? Fuck these guys. You know, Peter continued to say, we took over the show. Ace was drinking champagne. He was shit faced. I think he passed out in the dressing room afterward. Gene was steaming mad because Ace took over the show and he was so funny. I thought it was terrific. I was Ace's biggest fan that night.
See that? I thought it was terrific. He loved that. Ace was torching the other two.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's true. Now there is a comment from Paul from his book Face the Music. He did say that, talking about how the band was kind of like collapsing. You know, he said people were having second thoughts about coming to see us. So he knew that there was like burnout from the band, and like this did not help because they were hanging by a thread. It was terrible. Ace gets into the details. He says, "I was totally nervous. This was the first time I was ever going to do a major network show where I knew millions of people would be watching. At that point, I was still having stage fright. I was definitely afraid to be in front of a camera. So on the way down, I drank a half a bottle of Stoli. I usually don't drink vodka. I'm usually a beer drinker. All it did was basically make me normal and relaxed because I was so terrified. I remember the producer called me up. They called me on an off day where I wasn't really in a talkative mood. And even Tom mentions it in the interview when he said, my producer told me that Ace probably won't talk at all. I have no idea where I came up with those jokes. The ones about the cows in Bombay, the plumber, it just came off the top of my head."
Okay, Shecky Green, settle down. Exactly. Oh, fucking cows in Bombay.
Exactly.
So it just, Ace's, the thing about this is it's taken on a legendary status, and the Ace cult love this. Love this. Live for this.
So here's a little bit more from Ace, and this is the whole mentality and the psychology of it. Ace says, if you watch the video, you can actually see me turning to Gene and putting up my hands at one point and quietly saying, what? Like a child who's misbehaving at a family function and wants his dad to loosen up and join in on the fun. Like Zeus, like you said, how seriously can you take yourself when you're sitting there in a superhero costume and full face makeup? I love the guy, but he never got it. I get it, Ace. I get it, Ace, but you weren't there to be making fucking plumber jokes and dressing up a teddy bear and being fucking like a cackling buffoon.
He never got it.
Right.
If they were acting like this in the beginning, when they started like this, they wouldn't have made it out of their first album. If everything was a fucking joke and laughing about it and being, oh, look at us, we're fucking stupid. You'd be with the crowd laughing at you. Instead, the Kiss band took the shit seriously and got fucking a crowd and an audience because of that. What are you talking about? Like that's the shit that fucking bugs me about him all the time. Yep, when he does this, he always wants to act like he's the cool one. Oh, they care about the money. I'm just a rock and roll guy. Really? Have you seen what you try to fucking charge people for your shows and shit? Give me a fucking break. Yep. So I don't want to hear that shit. And that's the stuff that really turns me off when he talks like that. It just, I'm better than them because I'm the real one. They're just phony. Really? Okay. Give back all your money you made from when you were in that band and keep going out there selling fucking Genghis Khan and Bronx Boy. See how you do with that shit.
Paul has a couple. So then you get serious Paul here. This is from an interview that he did back in 2012. Paul says, it may seem funny that somebody is drunk, but the fact is that the root of it was, I believe, a contempt and a lack of respect for the audience and the fans. So sure, can you look at it and chuckle? Yeah, I can too, but I see deeper. I look at it and I say, what a shame to take this lofty position that somebody gave us and spit in its face by showing up inebriated or unable to connect a sentence. It may be funny on the surface, but what's below the surface is a lack of appreciation for a gift that you've been given. Now, I'm not going to say that he's right, but or wrong. But let's back off the melodrama a little bit, Paul. You know, not all of these guys are laying it on so thick, whether it's Ace saying, oh, Gene didn't get it, it was fucking hilarious, or Paul being like, you're spoiling the gift that you were given by. I get both sides, but this right here is why these four guys just could not coexist, which to this day, we haven't talked about the reunion, which to this day, I can't fucking believe the reunion lasted for as long as it did. I mean, that came to a crashing halt, too. We'll get into that. But yeah, Paul just being, you know, of course, holier than thou, sitting on his mountain. I don't know. You did make a good point, Zeus. The look on Paul's face is that nervous smile when you're at like, you know, a kid's birthday party and you know that your kid is a little shit, but you don't want to cause a scene. So you're like, hey, he's having fun. That's good.
Yeah. Let's go through each one of them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ace, quick thoughts.
It's funny, but it's over the top. There are some funny parts. It's over the top. I will say this. For as shit-faced as he was, he did put some coherent things together when he talked about, I'm fascinated by space and, you know, there's going to be a space station that's powered. Like, what? He at that moment, you know, I'm like, okay, but you knew at any given moment, whether it was a question that Tom Snyder asked or a comment that one of them make, you knew, okay, when is Ace going to jump in with a punchline?
He had the 3 o'clock giggles when you're over your buddies and you've been drinking all night and trying to pass out. It's me and you at Creatures Fest trying to pass out.
2 o'clock in the morning. We couldn't because everybody'd be like, okay, good night. Thanks, brother.
He had that. So, but you're right. He was connecting sentences here and there. He was more articulate than he's ever been now.
Yeah.
He can never talk like this, like he does now.
Yep.
I'm just fascinated by technology. I mean, you know, it's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
So with me, I'm with you. If I'm going to rank them, who came off likable, I would put Ace as number two for me on this episode.
Okay.
So me, the next guy is Peter. I would rank him number one for me because he was kind of like Ace, but he wasn't as over the top. He was having his fun. He was making comments. He was actually speaking, given a chance to speak, talk about some of the things that he liked. I thought he came across as the most likable and most normal one on there.
Okay, this is where we're going to disagree. First of all, Peter was on something. Whether it was coke, because he would have been a little bit snappier with his behavior if it was coke. He was on something, I don't know, like a fucking Quaalude or something, because his eyes looked like they were barely open. He looked like he was fucking dazed and confused. The thing I didn't like about Peter, and we all know guys like this, Peter was reveling in a real obnoxious way with the discomfort of Paul and Gene. Now, it's funny. You're laughing, and so was I.
I know.
But to me, it was very, very dickish. You know, because at that point, you know he fucking hated Paul and Gene.
But you get why, because they fucking tortured him.
He was getting his revenge. But and that's the thing. He didn't have to do anything.
No, it was Ace doing it for him.
It was like when I was in grade school, I used to get in trouble all the time because I would like get the giggles. And I would be like, no, but he made me laugh. That's why I'm laughing. It's not me. And that's that Peter. Peter's like, I didn't do anything. I'm just laughing at the funny guy right now. But I feel like that almost pissed off Paul and Gene more. That Peter was kind of like, you know.
Because Ace is more original, they're thinking, and he's just being Ace.
Right.
He can't help it. But Peter's putting some fucking hatred behind that.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So he's number two for me. You can give your rankings at the end.
Yeah.
Number three for me would be in this thing, I would say would be Gene, not Paul, because Gene was authentic. He was pissed and he was showing it. He had the balls to be like, motherfucker, you fucking idiot. And he had some decent comments. He was answering the questions. He was talking. I always like when Gene like tries to put people on the spot. Name me a cartoon. Name me a horror movie from, well, that was the French actor so-and-so played. Hey, I like that. But he was a complete dick. So he's way down as number three.
So
number
this
four
is,
would be the last guy.
So this is, again, we're going to differ a little bit. I think, honestly, I think Gene was as unprofessional as Ace was. I think he was as unprofessional as Ace was. I think sitting there, slinked back in his chair with that puss on his face, looking like a spoiled little bitch that took his fucking little piece of candy from him. I thought he came off. I actually think he came off the worst. Now, I'm not saying that his behavior wasn't warranted, and I totally understand that he was bullshit at Ace, but I think he came off as a complete, just a grumpy old bitch. What he should have done is he should have gotten into it and been like, Ace, you're going to let me talk? You want to let me say something? I understand you haven't, like, that would have been still been dickish, but that image of his face is legendary.
So what you're saying is it should be like that episode we did with Paul and Gene got into that fight.
Yes.
Hey, I don't appreciate you doing that to me.
Exactly.
Stop insulting me to my face. Like that stuff.
Yes. Yes. If he
wasn't going to get anywhere with Ace. Ace was smashed.
No, I know that. I know. But see, and then this is, we're going to differ because I think Paul came off almost as the most sympathetic because I think he was trying to keep it together. He had a smile. It was fake. He knew that the fucking interview went up in flames and he was trying to not embarrass himself, even though the whole band was being embarrassed.
I put him at number four.
Really?
Because he had that sourpuss look on his face, too. and he had nothing to say. He didn't even, like, you, because we all know Paul, so we knew he couldn't hide it.
Yeah.
But he was trying, and he had, like, I don't know, a little bitch way of fucking trying to, like, be a, not show that he's upset.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I think Gene and Paul could, you know, change. It could be 3-4, 4-3. I don't care. But for me, the order as I see it on this episode, I go Peter, Ace, Gene, Paul.
Yeah. I, the funny thing is, when you watch this interview or when you listen to it, you guys got to watch it. You have to watch it after hearing it in this episode. That it lasted for as long as it did. Right? Like, at what point nobody, no producer, Tom Snyder himself, nobody said, guys, this, either he and his producers said, okay, this is TV gold. Maybe they's like, let's just run with it. Ace is shit face and we'll get, everybody's going to get a kick out of this. But I am surprised that.
Is it TV gold? It's TV gold for Kiss Tards.
That's what I'm saying.
America watching this, they're probably like, the fuck is this idiot?
I
had no respect for them before. I have less respect for them now.
And that's why I would love to know if Paul or Gene, after that thing ended, I would love to see, like, off the camera, like, bits of that. Like, did they ever try to tell Tom, like, you can't air this. Don't fucking air this. This is terrible. Like, I don't know. Here's a funny quote from Carol Kay, who was the publicist at the time. She says, we booked the band on the Tom Snyder Show. It wasn't an everyday occurrence back then to see a rock band on a late night interview program. This was a major coup. Tom had this little stuffed animal that he kept next to his seat. Ace kept picking up the animal and playing with it. He called it his space bear. Ace was very drunk, and I was very scared that the show wouldn't come off well. But Ace came off as lovable. He's not a mean drunk. He's a lovable drunk. He kept playing with the stuffed bear. Even though Tom was desperately trying to conduct a normal interview, you can see that his eye kept going to the bear. I remember when we went to a commercial, Tom Snyder, who's about 6'5", got up and said, give me that bear. I'll never forget it. That is hilarious to me. And then this is another great comment here from Bill O'Coin. My favorite TV appearance is The Tomorrow Show. What happened was Ace was interviewed for the show. He was drunk, so he didn't do the initial interview before the show. They told Snyder that Gene and Paul are your main people. Peter is pretty good, and Ace isn't going to do anything. I ended up sharing a bottle of champagne with Ace in the dressing room, and he was ready. Snyder couldn't believe it. He thought his people had set him up. Every time Ace said something, Snyder went to pieces. He was laughing and screaming. It was a turn of events that worked brilliantly. Gene was upset because Ace took over the show.
So is it jealousy or is it the drunken behavior?
I don't think it's jealousy. I think it's upsetting to them because in Paul and Gene's eyes, I think two things. Paul and Gene knew that the band was falling apart and fractured, and that was probably upsetting to them from a standpoint. But I also think, put that aside, I think they were embarrassed because our band looks granted, they were in the Dynasty costumes, which to some people is a joke to begin with, of super flamboyant and over the top. But I feel like Paul and Gene were like, you're really, really embarrassing us here now. Because Paul and Gene took it very seriously. And again, they knew that the band was falling apart. So I think it was a perfect storm of just a total disaster for the band.
Yeah, it could be. But I still think, like, hey, the other guys thought for a minute, hey, this is the first time we're one of the fucking people that are getting attention in these interviews.
Yep.
We've done a million of them. What? The first time we get attention, now it's a problem. You guys don't like it. How's it feel to fucking sit there in the background while we get the questions and the attention?
Good point.
I don't know. There's a little bit of all of it involved.
I agree.
There's going to be a shit ton of feedback on this. I'm interested in seeing it, how it comes across. But yeah, it's this is legendary. It's legendary. And we're glad we got to get to this episode and we broke it down for you. Let us know what you think. So, Tom, but before we move on, we've got to rank our TV appearances. Yep. So we have done ABC in Concert, Mike Douglas Show, Paul Lynde Halloween Special, Don Kirshner's Rock Concert, Land of Hype and Glory, Gene and Ace on the Don Lane Show, Kiss on Fridays, MTV Kiss Unmasking, Paul and Gene on Oprah, Kiss Mad TV, Halloween Spooktacular, Kiss on Family Guy, a very special Family Guy freaking Christmas in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yep.
You want to tell us how you rank these?
Yeah, of course. So starting from the bottom, last I have the Kiss Mad TV Halloween Spooktacular, Macy's Day Parade, Kiss on Family Guy, Gene and Ace on the Don Lane Show, Paul and Gene on Oprah, MTV Kiss Unmasking, Paul Lynn Halloween Special, Mike Douglas Show, Don Kirshner's Rock Concert, Land of Hype and Glory, Kiss on Fridays, and ABC in Concert. Now, for this, it's entertaining, but there's no music, there's no performance, which I find, we didn't talk about that. I find that striking that they didn't ask the band to perform.
Yeah, Tom Snyder says something in the beginning.
Yeah.
They came with all their stuff, all this and this and that, but they didn't get the, they're not performing today.
Yeah, weird. But anyways, so that's obviously a detriment in terms of rankings. Again, it's entertaining. It's really not something that I'm probably going to want to go back to too often because it is kind of uncomfortable, and I feel like we've seen it for forever, but it is legendary. It is the four original band members, so I am going to put this at number 8. I'm going to put it right below MTV Kiss Unmasking and right above Paul and Gene on Oprah.
Okay.
All right. Yep.
Tom, I have my rankings as Macy's Day Parade as last, Kiss Mad TV, then Paul and Gene on Oprah, then Gene and Ace on Don Lane Show, Land of Hype and Glory, then MTV Unmasking, Kiss on Family Guy, Kiss on Fridays, ABC in Concert, Paul Lynn Halloween Special, Mike Douglas Show, Don Kirshner's Rock Concert, number 1.
Okay.
I am putting this right at number 8 as well, underneath MTV Kiss Unmasking and above Land of Hype and Glory.
Okay. Yep.
It's not as funny as I think, like the Family Guy ones. And the Kiss on Friday is a bunch of quirky little stupid little gimmick things. The Kiss Unmasking is legendary in and of itself.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
And this is as funny as it is, some a little bit of it, it gets to a point where it's uncomfortable.
Well, it's too long. That's the thing. Yeah. It's too long. It's like a Saturday Night Live skit that just went on too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
All right, Tom. What we do next is we go to question of the week. You got one?
Okay, this comes from Anthony on Facebook. Anthony says, when Kiss finally wraps it up in New York City on December 2nd, do you think that Kiss will be like one of those other legacy artists, like Elvis or Jimi Hendrix or Prince, that continue to put out material, whether it's continued off the soundboards or more live albums or DVD box sets or whatever? Or do you think Kiss will just go away?
Oh, no, they're never going to go away. They make too much money from this stuff. There'll be more albums, more obscure shit, more compilations, videos and things like that. All sorts of shit. I'm telling you, I really feel that it'll be a way more.
Yeah, I think so, too. I just hope that right now. So the reason that we're not getting any deluxe box sets or off the soundboard is because Kiss is in the middle of trying to wheel and deal with Universal, because Universal owns the Kiss catalog. Paul and Gene own all the demos and live stuff from off the soundboard. So right now there's kind of a back and forth with that. I hope that gets settled, because I know people loved the off the soundboards and the deluxe sets. I would like to think that after this show in New York City in December, that we will continue to get some stuff, you know, maybe more Kissology, maybe more something. I just, they won't go away in terms of like t-shirts and merch. But in terms of audio video stuff, that's where I'm nervous about, just because of the way the band is. I hope there's more, but I get worried about that. But either way, Anthony, great question. I have a feeling everybody's wondering the same thing. So thank you for contributing to that.
Tom, where can people find us?
Go to our website, shoutoutloudcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes, the Shout Out Loudcast episode, Dorm Damage, Album Review Crew, Zeppelin Chronicles. You can find all the links to our social media. Links to our Amazon shopping page. Our merch is there. Our Patreon. You can comment directly from the website, and we get those in the form of an email, and we read every email. And if you want to have your question be read as question of the week, or if you want to be part of our upcoming mailbag, please submit one. You can use the website to do that, or email us directly at shoutoutloudcast@gmail.com. That's the email address, shoutoutloudcast@gmail.com. And of course, we're on all the social media, Twitter, X, whatever it's called now, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Please follow us, subscribe, interact with us. We love the fact that you guys are seeing these end of the road shows, these final shows, taking pictures, sharing them, your feedback, your videos, pictures of you with Shout Out Loudcast gear on. We love it. So keep doing that. And again, a huge shout out to our wonderful Patreon family. Please check us out. Again, click on the link or download the app. And we always like to say that we are a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network of shows.
Yeah, people can DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us one of those 5-star child reviews so people can find our podcast. Please, Tom mentioned it already. Go to our website. I just put a lot of fucking time into that thing.
Yep.
So make sure you go take a look and peek around. I added, I don't know, maybe at least a half a dozen new pictures that you guys have been giving us of you wearing the Loudcaster stuff. So you go to the About section. If you go towards the bottom, there's a slide there of all the Loudcasters wearing our gear. I've added in photos of the Kiss Cruise that I for some reason I didn't have it in there, and the Gene Simmons event. We updated also any articles that quote Shout Out Loudcast, the podcast, in the media section. Like, we put a lot of work into the website recently and added more data and stuff. And we'll keep putting more pictures of you guys. Keep sending to them. And if you do post something, tag us. Just say, because I'll have to end up reaching out to you. Just say, yeah, please, you can use this for the website, so I don't have to email you guys or DM you. Again, our website again, shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com. And you can always email us with questions, comments, suggestions at shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. Tom, what we do next is we always end on famous last words. Do you have any?
Oh, yes, I do, as always. We'd go to school, and then we'd cut out, go to the park, and space our heads out. We called it fun, but there was doubt hanging out down in the city.
Yeah. I've been up and down. I've been all around. I was mystified, almost terrified. But late at night, I still hear you call my name.
Nice. Nice.
Oh, fucking stupid.
What is the matter with us? Oh, my God.
Tom, Loudcasters, Kiss Army, thank you.
Guys, you're the best. Thank you so much. Happy Halloween. Check your candy bags for any Aces doo-doos in there, and be safe. And if anybody out there is dressing up as Kiss for Halloween, tag us. Send some pictures. We want to see them. So thank you. And Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout. Cut the music. What I want now for all you fat, out of shape, worldwide kiss cards to keep the noise down while I show the ladies what a real sexy man looks like. Hit the music.
Listen, all you people out there sitting on rented furniture, settle down.
Anybody seen Richie? Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.